This is all about the moms today. Not just the mothers. I'm talking spiritual mothers. I'm talking aunts. I'm talking any woman that has influence, that does have influence, just so you know, we'll get to that, that has influence in somebody else's life. You're also celebrated here today. Father, have your way in our hearts today. Let us today be a day of remembrance, a day of hope, and let us put our focus on one of the most beautiful gifts you ever given us, and that is our mothers. And I know today is going to be hard for some. It's going to be joyful for some. It's going to be difficult for some. But Father, your presence is all that we need here today during this message. So in Jesus' name, we give you glory. Amen. Amen. Okay. I got so many notes here. I'm going to... So many notes. Listen, I know some of you moms, especially with the younger kids, have probably been up about 5 a.m. making sure your kids dress correctly, match their clothes, make their breakfast, do all these things in order to get them here on time, right? Some of you, I get it. And I want you to know, I want all you mothers to know that God sees you. We see you, and we are so thankful for all of you. I'm just going to use the word women, because I'm going to unpack what that looks like here in a little bit. But now, I know you guys are already looking at the exit door and looking at that clock back there, saying, man, we got lunch today, we got brunch today, we got to get going. I promised my wife I would keep it as short as I could. No promises. But I wanted to talk about, and man, you know what, I love this because I get excited about these kind of things because I didn't have to get into the book of James today, this week. I could breathe a little, like, okay, James, you know. If you guys don't know, we were doing a six-week study on the book of James, and we're already in, like, week 11. It just keeps going and going and going. But anyway, so you'll want to come back next week to hear as we start closing out the last chapter of James. It's such a good thing. But today, here's what I want to talk about. Legacy. I want to talk about legacy. Can you ask yourself, can I ask you guys something super personal? What will remain once you're gone? When your voice no longer is heard in your home, what words will echo in the hearts of those who knew you? When your hands are no longer serving, and what work will continue because of the seeds of faith that you planted? That is what legacy is about. And today I want us to explore the scriptures, teaching us what legacy of a godly woman and why that matters for every single person here this morning. And I'm talking to you too, men. This isn't just for the moms. Our main passage today, if you have your Bibles, because we're a Bible-believing church, you can open it to 2 Timothy, verse 1. I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 5. If not, don't worry, you can pull your phone out. If you don't have a Bible app on your phone, don't do it. They're going to have to pay me if I say it out loud because it's recorded. Talk to me afterwards. I'll get you the right Bible app. And we're also going to dive into a section of Proverbs 31. But before we dive in, let me share my big idea here, okay? The big idea is your greatest legacy isn't what you accomplish. It's who you influence for Christ's kingdom. And men, yeah, I already mentioned it. I'm talking to you too. Don't turn me out. Don't turn this off. Our women in our lives are building something that affects us too. It affects every single one of us too. So lean in and listen up, guys, because God has something to say to us as well. Point number one, I only got 10 points today. Just kidding. Just kidding. I got 4. Faith that builds a foundation. So let's look at 2 Timothy verse 1 through 5. The Apostle Paul is writing this out to his, what I call his protege, Paul's mentoring this guy named Timothy. And he says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded that now lives in you. Isn't that good? Can you? We need to pause there for a minute, because think about it. Paul isn't giving glory or giving honor to Timothy. He's going way back two generations and giving honor to the grandmother and to the mother of Timothy right off the bat. And we're talking Timothy. He's a heavy hitter, man. He was one of the first pastors, one of the first guys in the church who helped spread the church through all the nations. But Paul doesn't start with him. He starts with his grandmother and his mother. Paul goes straight for the lineage, legacy. Legacy is built in people before we even come onto the stage. These women weren't out there preaching to thousands of people. They weren't writing books or leading conferences all across Asia. But what they did do was just as important. They planted faith in a young man, in a young boy's heart. They created a foundation upon which everything else would be built on. Ladies, I know some of you might feel invisible sometimes, like what you really do matters, because you get into the grind of things and you're wondering if anybody even notices all the hard work that you guys do. And I'm talking to women here. Sometimes you might even think, does this really matter? Does anybody see me? Well, I'm here to tell you that heaven sees you. God is recording every moment of faithfulness in your life. Just like Lois and Eunice, your most powerful ministry isn't what happens in the light, in the spotlight. It might have happened at the kitchen table. It might have been healing or kneeling at the bed of one of your kids' beds, praying over them, telling them it's going to be okay. It might even been wiping a tear from a kid's eye. Paul recognizes that Timothy's spiritual strength wasn't an accident. It was cultivated, it was nurtured, it was tendered like a gardener until it produced fruit from a young age. Timothy's world-changing ministry had its roots at home, where faith wasn't just talked about, it was lived out. His mother and his grandmother didn't just talk and tell him about God. They showed him God by the way they lived their life. This is foundational faith. Faith that creates a platform for the future generations, not just here and today. Second point. So there's the first one. We might move quickly here. I'm hungry. Faith that functions. Proverbs 31:10-31. Now, I can't unpack all of that, but there's two sections to it. And I want you to, if you're looking, you can look at verses, chapter 31, verses 10-31. I'm going to pull a piece out of that. Actually, it's actually on our sign out here for your photo ops at the end of service here. This passage often, when you read it, it's going to make you feel a little nervous, ladies. Why? Because you're putting yourself in the comparison of a perfect, what looks to be a perfect woman. But when we actually let the Word of God be a mirror, it causes transformation. It doesn't judge us. It causes us to pursue transformation in our lives. When we read about this woman, it seems like everything's perfectly. She's running a business and managing houses and caring for the poor and speaking wisdom. Something inside of us will whisper like, man, I could never measure up to this woman that this person's talking about. But again, it's not a checklist to overwhelm you. This is a character study to inspire you. It's not demanding you to do everything. It's inviting you to bring godly character to whatever God has called you to do. So let me read a couple verses out of there. Verses 25 and 28 says, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Man. If you needed some encouragement today, we could just stop right there. Ladies, that is the word of God speaking right into your hearts. Can I tell you something? A godly woman's power isn't just in her productivity. I see a lot of hustle and bustle moms running around with, like, and missing moments. I could have, and let me help you. Sometimes your power just comes in your presence. And just being there. She carries herself with dignity, not because life has been easy, but because she knows exactly who she serves. She can face tomorrow with confidence, not because she has everything figured out, but because she knows the one who holds everything together. There's a mind shift. There's a shift that needs to happen. I'm reminded of a powerful moment that forever transformed me, how I understand a mother's love. I know my mama loves me, and I love her too. But after being involved in a terrible accident I've talked about, in which a young man lost his life, I plunged into the darkest valley I'd ever experienced. I was devastated. I couldn't see beyond the crushing weight of the guilt and shame that I carried. My wife and I wasn't around. I'd lived a life of destruction. I had nobody but my mother. And in that moment, when my world had completely shattered, my mom was the one who was there. She loved me in spite of what I did. No rehearsed wisdom that she could give me. No empty promises that everything would be okay. She simply offered what I needed the most, her presence. She sat with me in that suffocating darkness that I had, and with the voices that were screaming into my head to just end my life. And she sat in my presence with me. Though she didn't have the perfect words, she had perfect understanding of what I truly needed. And I just needed her. The one who could sit with me in my unbearable pain and help me carry it when I didn't have the strength myself to carry it. To me, that's a Proverbs 31 woman. It says she speaks with wisdom. Sometimes means knowing when silence speaks louder than words. She was clothed in strength. Means having the courage to step into someone else's suffering without trying to minimize it or rush through it. She watches over her household by discerning what each heart truly needs in that moment of crisis. That's a Proverbs 31 woman. That's what it means to have faith that functions. It's not just what you highlight in your Bibles on Sundays. It's in how you show up on Monday when your kids are sick, when the bills are due, when your relationships are strained, when tragedy strikes without warning. I need you ladies, not just mothers. The question isn't whether you have influence. It's what you're doing with the influence that's been given to you by God. And the men in this room, I need you to recognize the last part of this scripture. Recognize that functional faith in the women in your life. See how they translate into belief, their beliefs into action every day. We need to learn from their examples. But it can't stop there. Just as the husband in Proverbs 31 publicly praises his wife, we need to be quick to acknowledge and affirm the godly influence of the women who is strategically placed in our lives. Praise them. Men, we can't just admire them from a distance. We need to tell her. We've been talking about speaking words of life. We need to do that over our spouses, our wives, our daughters, men. Men, hear me. We need to be speaking words of life into our daughters and into our wives. Don't just appreciate in silence. Praise her openly in the air. Her faith that functions deserves to be celebrated not just today, but every single day. Come on, men. Point number three, faith that flows through seasons. How many people love seasons? That's a joke. I'm learning that we only got two seasons here. I'm Midwest. We have four seasons, and the two best seasons are almost never there. It's extremely cold or extremely hot. You get a couple of days, like 5 to 10 days of like springtime, and it goes straight into summer. But here, there's two seasons. What you guys call winter, I call spring. One of the beautiful things about motherhood, whether biological or spiritual here, it is always changing. Different seasons bring different challenges and different opportunities. Let me say that again. Different seasons bring different challenges and different opportunities. I told you about the accident that I was in that brought me to meet my knees, and I was about to take my own life. My mom was there for me in that moment. But God wasn't finished with his redemption story in my life. A few years later, he brought another woman into my path, into my life. The grandmother of the young man that I killed in the car accident. The grandmother of the young man whose life was taken too early because of my mistakes. Church, I didn't even know this woman. But she looked at me. The man responsible for the immeasurable loss of her grandson. And she did something that only a mother filled with God's Spirit could do. And she forgave me. And the day, and today she is a very, let me tell you, this woman is very involved in my life today behind the scenes. I was on the phone with her this morning. Saying, Happy Mother's Day. She might not be related to me by blood, but she is my mother, my spiritual mother. She forgave me. And not only that, last year, when I did all my schoolwork and all my internship, and I was going to be ordained in front of 1,000 people, guess who was there laying hands on me? Grandma. I love this woman. If she can do something like that, how could I even complain about the little things? And I love this because the Bible doesn't, this is just one story. The Bible gives so many examples of women who've made a difference just like this. Think of Hannah, who prayed so hard that Eli thought that she was drunk. He did. You know what I call it? Passionate prayer. I don't need somebody praying for me like that. I love it. Passionate prayer. Her season, get this, of longing became a testimony of God's faithfulness when Samuel the prophet was born through her. Consider Ruth, a young woman who chose faith in the midst of a devastating loss and became the ancestor of Jesus Christ. Remember Elizabeth, who experienced the miracles of motherhood late in life. And I'm not talking baby shower years. Elizabeth was older in her age, and she gave birth to the forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist. Don't forget Lois and Lois, Timothy's grandma, who surely thought, get this, who surely thought childbearing days were behind her when she began to pour into her grandson. What these women teach us is that there's no right time to make an impact. Every season offers unique opportunities to leave a legacy. Maybe you're a new mother in here, feeling overwhelmed by the responsibility of raising a young baby. The season is about laying a foundation right now. And yes, sometimes those foundations include figuring out how to function on 2 hours of sleep. Perhaps you're busy in the middle years, juggling a career and carpools and countless demands, like the one on the screen. Your season is about demonstrating what faith looks like under pressure. That's when you're praying in the carpool lines. Throwing those quick prayers between sports practice and a game and track and then back to the school and back home to make dinner. Throwing those little prayers up. Because that's how hectic it is. I know. I've talked to some of you ladies in here. I know. Lifting up those quick prayers between those practices and dinner prep and all that stuff that you have, all the plates that you're spinning. Might be in your later years with adult children that have grandchildren. Yeah, I'm that old. Can't wait to see my grandbaby today. You might be in your later years with adult children and grandchildren. Your season is about sharing. Get this. Your season is about sharing the wisdom that can only come from experience. I know a lot of things, but I never have wisdom until I've gone through it and can walk somebody else through it. That's wisdom. Let me tell you something. A grandmother's prayer has a lot of power. Grandmas out there, your prayers carry a lot of power. Even though she's not my grandmother, she's praying right now for us because she knows what time it is. She knows the story. I talked to her. I say, hey, I'm going to bring up the story. I haven't really talked about you yet. She's praying. She says, I'll be praying. And I, you know what? I know she's praying. She isn't just saying it. I know she is praying for this right now, all the way back in Illinois. Wherever you are, God has positioned you for impact. Your influence might look different in different seasons, but it never becomes less important. And here's something crucial. Legacy building isn't limited to those who have those biological children. Some of the most influential mothers have been women who've poured their lives into others. Like Priscilla, who alongside her husband Aquila mentored Apollo to help strengthen the early church. Let me think of some modern day examples. Women who've mentored other women with addiction, like my wife, for many years. Women who faithfully serve our little ones every Sunday, like Mary. Women who lead our youth, like Crystal. Women who foster children, like Miriam. are grandmothers who step into the gap as mother figures like Pam. Women who simply notice when someone needs a word of encouragement like Vinette. Women who will pray for you at any given moment like Tanya. And there's so many more in our church I can't even say. People like AJ and Taylor and Heather. There's so many ladies in our church that do so many things behind the scenes that you would never even see. Come on. It's women like these that encourage me to keep pushing forward, who keep encouraging me when I feel down, and they help can push me forward. And women are strong. Women are strong and powerful. That's legacy in action. Point number four. A faith that is forwards. Faith that forwards. Finally, let's look at what makes a legacy endure. True legacy isn't just remembered, it's reproduced. Again, back in 2 Timothy 1-5, it says again, I'm reminded of the sincere faith which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Did you catch that? First in Lois, then in Eunice, and then in Timothy. It moved forward. It multiplied. It didn't stay contained in one person or even in one generation. This is what Jesus commanded when he told us to go make disciples in Matthew 28:19. This is what discipleship looks like. It doesn't have to be in front of all these people. One-on-one interaction with somebody when they need to pray, when they're hurting, when they're crying. You're there. You're speaking life. You're speaking truth. You're loving them in their mess, in their pain, in their hurt. You're with them even in the moments when it's joyful and exciting and perfect. I'd like to see that one, though. This is what Jesus commanded for us to make disciples. And mothers, whether biological or spiritual, your job isn't just to care for somebody. Your job isn't just to care for somebody. It's to equip them to thrive without you. Every time you model forgiveness, you're forwarding the faith. Every time you demonstrate resilience, you're forwarding the faith. Every time you choose joy in difficult circumstances, you are forwarding the faith. Every time you serve others despite your own weariness, you are forwarding the faith. And here's the beautiful thing. You may never see the full impact of your legacy. Timothy's grandmother, Lois, was probably never imagined that her influence would impact the churches across the Roman Empire. But it did. Because legacy doesn't stop with the next generation. It keeps moving forward. Your faithfulness today might bear fruit in someone else you may never even meet. People you mentor might go on to influence hundreds. The child that you teach might one day lead thousands to Christ. The seeds you plant may grow into forest. That's why daily faithfulness matters so much. You are not just living for today. You're building for an eternity. You're building to build the kingdom of God. Some others, grandmothers, aunts, mentors, teachers, and all the women of faith, I want you to hear this today. Your labor is not in vain. The Lord sees every sacrifice, every prayer, every moment of faithful service that is done behind the scenes. When you do things for your kids and you don't They don't even see it. You may feel ordinary. You may feel overlooked. You may wonder if what you're even doing really matters. Let me tell you, it does. It does. It does more than you know. Are you leaving a legacy that will outlive you? That should be our goals as mothers. Oh, not my goal. That's your goal. That should be your goal. Am I going to leave a legacy that outlives me? A legacy of faith that sets foundations, faith that functions, faith that flows through seasons, and faith that follows to the generation that's not even born yet. But today, as we celebrate the legacy of our mothers, I wonder about your own spiritual legacy. Some of you here today have been building a legacy of faith for years. But others might be thinking, I don't have a legacy to pass on because I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. The most precious gift any person can give to the next generations is a life transformed by the power of Jesus. That's the gift. And that transformation is available to every single person in this room today. Perhaps you grew up with a mother of the faith, but you never embraced the faith for yourself. Maybe your mother prayed for you, taught you scripture, forced you to church. But you kept Jesus at arm's length. Or perhaps you've never had that foundation at all. You never saw the faith lived out in your home. Today, God has given you an opportunity to start a new legacy. To be the first in your family line that says yes to Jesus as your God and your Lord and Savior. It's not complicated. We make it complicated because we're people and we complicate everything. But Romans 10:9 tells us if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Nothing you can do to earn it. Just accept it. You don't have to be a theologian. Man, you just come to church every week. We will give you the tools to be the mother that God is calling you to be. We will give you the tools to be the dads that God is calling you to be. We will give you the tools. Not preference, my preference, but God's word. Salvation is that simple because the work is already done. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. Nothing we can do. At the cross, Jesus died on the cross and he said, it is finished. You don't need to add to, it is finished. It's done. Salvation is that simple and it's that profound. It's acknowledging. Here's the biggest part. You got to acknowledge. We've been talking about pride and humility the past couple weeks. You have to acknowledge that you're in need of a Savior. Like, I mess things up. I'm not perfect. I have done things that I'm not proud of. Today could be the day you step out of darkness and into the light. Today could be the day that you make a decision that won't just impact you, but the generations after you. I didn't grow up in a home where church was a thing. And this is nobody's fault. I don't blame my parents for this. There's people in my life that try to get me to go to church a few times here and there and stuff, so I can't blame my parents on it. I chose not to believe. But if there was a foundation in my home, I bet. I'm not a betting guy. But I believe that God's grace would have protected me from a lot of things that I went through because the foundation was there. today could be the decision that doesn't just impact your eternity, but potentially the eternity of generations to come. With every head bowed, every eye shut, I want this to just be a quiet time. I want this to just kind of, and just listen. Keep your eyes shut. Take out the noise. Take out anything that's distracting you from what's going to be said. I want to invite you to make a decision right now. If you've never given your life to Jesus, or if you've wandered far from Him and you need to come home, this moment is for you. Again, every head bowed, every eye shut. If that's you, throw your hand up so I can see it. I see you. God sees you. God sees you. He sees you and He sees you. Don't let this moment pass. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Awesome. You can put your hands down. I'm going to pray a simple prayer for all of us. I want you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You don't have to figure it all out right now. I want you to pray these words in your heart because He's listening. He knows your heart. He knows your needs. So just pray this in your heart. He's listening. Lord Jesus, I need You. I acknowledge that I have sinned and I've fallen short of Your glory. Thank You for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for rising from the dead. I believe You are the Son of God. I open my heart to You now. Forgive me of my wrongdoing. Forgive me of my sin as I turn from my path of destruction and I turn towards Your grace. Come into my life. Make me new. I surrender to You as Lord. From this day forward, I will follow You the best of my ability. In Jesus' name, everyone says, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I need you to know something. She's already excited. Yeah, let's pray. Woo! Okay, wait a minute. Let me say it this way. There is more rejoicing right now in heaven than what you're doing in this room. Come on, somebody. I'm going to hang out right here after service. I'm not done yet. We're not done yet. We're getting close. I'm going to pray a blessing over you women. But if that's you and you said yes to Jesus and you need more information, I am going to stay right here just for you. Nobody else. If you raised your hand and you need to talk about this decision you made, I'm going to be right here as long as I need to be here for you. Anybody else? You can just call the office or call my cell and set an appointment. No, I'm just kidding. Right now, the people who say yes to Jesus are the people that need to know what's the decision they just made. So I'm here for you. Now I invite every woman to stand. Woman. Love you, Gary. There you go. You might want to stand here in a few minutes. We'll see. I want to invite every woman to stand up, and I want to ask every person that's around to like turn and raise their hands and just, you get to stay seated. I want just the women standing because it's an honor. Give honor where honor is due. And if you guys can just raise your hand towards one of these women or something like that, I want to pray a blessing over these women. And guys, I want you to speak into that. Every head bowed, every eye shut. Today we lift up these precious women before You. Thank You for their lives, their love, their legacy. Thank You for the countless ways that You reflected Your heart to us through these women, through their sacrifices, and through their strength. Their tenderness, yet strong. Lord, we ask that You would bless them abundantly today and always. Give them strength when they are weary, wisdom when they are uncertain, patience when they are tested, and joy in all the seasons. For those who are in the early years of motherhood, we pray for endurance and grace. For those in the middle of their years, we pray for discernment and courage. And for those later in their years, we pray for the joy as they see the fruits of their labors. We pray for those who have suffered loss here today. The loss of a child or a loss of a mother. The loss of a dream. Wrap your loving arms around them. Let them feel your presence in a special way today. Be their comfort. We pray for those mothers that are mentoring and teaching and fostering and that are spiritual guidance. Multiply their influence for your kingdom. We also pray for the daughters who may be taking care of their parents now. Lord, remind every woman here that her value is not in what she does, but in who she is. She is a beloved daughter, cherished, chosen, commissioned, and with a holy purpose to see your kingdom thrive, Father. May you know that their legacy matters for eternity. May they never doubt that their faithful service has been honored by you. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God Almighty, rest upon them and remain with them this day forward. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.